Welcome to the podcast, Just Saying. My name is Joe McCormick. I'm your host. In our episode this week, I'm going to talk to you about how to elevate the letter R in a brief map. If you're just joining this podcast for the first time, really happy that you're here. And if you've listened to this podcast before, welcome back. The point of this podcast is singular. It's really to help you to become an intentional communicator. And one of the core tools we used that we use very powerfully is a brief map. And if you're not familiar with a brief map, I highly recommend that you go to thebrieflab.com. In our resources section, in our tools section, you can download a brief map. It's a visual outline and it spells the word brief. And each one of the boxes in this visual outline is there for a very specific purpose. Quickly, a brief map spells out the word background, relevance, information, ending, follow-up. That's kind of the standard inserts in the map that spells out brief. And each one of those boxes has a very specific role. And I've described brief maps as like a Swiss Army knife of communication. You can use it for giving an update, having a conversation with a person, writing an email, developing a presentation, creating an executive summary on a lengthy topic. You can use it to pitch an idea, making a recommendation, the whole host of reasons, running a meeting, developing a strategy, giving an overview of a program. In our courses at the Brief Lab are using a brief map as the singular central tool. We have other tools, draft cards, brief meeting prep cards, quiet worksheets, but a brief map is really the singular central tool that we use. And what I want to talk about today was inspired by a course that I taught recently, and it was up in Virginia last week to a military unit. And it was interesting is in this exercise, we run practical exercises. So we'll teach the person, the team, the tool, and then we'll start running them through exercises. It's a learn by doing method versus learn by lecture. So I'm up there talking for two straight days about how to be brief. I establish a baseline methodology, some techniques, some principles, and then we start running people through exercises. And in this particular exercise, they were supposed to pitch an idea to a senior leader. So the question opened with, all right, think of something that might be broken in this organization, and what would you recommend to fix it? And as I hear people brief this idea, this recommendation, I'm seeing the box R for the reason or the relevance. Why are you recommending this? And I start noticing that most of the people are using that box to talk about the payoff, the reward. Well, that really doesn't go there. The reason you're doing it is because of a specific reason, but the benefit or the payoff comes in box five, the end state, the so what. So what is the reward? So what is the payoff? So what is the end state that you're driving toward? That's the happy ending. And the relevance or the reason why you're doing this might be better framed by using the word risk. And that's what really was my teaching, specifically using risks versus rewards in box number three. So the reason you're recommending it is because there's a risk. Well, why do you do that? You do that because what's the risk if you don't take the recommendation? What is the risk if you don't implement the idea? What bad thing is going to happen if you don't proceed or you don't change? That, for me, is pretty powerful. A few days ago, we were having a party at our house, and my wife's cousin was there, and or actually her niece, and her husband's in sales, and we were just talking about sales, and he works for an internet provider, like a cable provider, an internet provider. We were just talking about people coming into their store, and what his techniques that he's been trained on how to sell people, and we were just talking about like looking at people's bills, because that was one of the examples of people come up with a bill. And he says, you know, I get the bill, I look at the bill, and then I tell people how I'm going to save them money. And I'm not saying that's a bad approach. People are overpaying on the bill. They're on the wrong plan, wrong service contract. That's fine. But I think it'd be more interesting, more powerful, if during that conversation, you just maybe took a little bit longer time to really explore, what the issue is. In this particular case, let's say that the example was the customer was on the wrong plan and they were overpaying. And the problem, what's the problem with that? Well, it depends on what you're overpaying. So what would it look like if he asked the person like, well, okay, well, what's the risk if you don't do anything? If you left it alone, what's the risk? And put it back on the person who owns the decision, which is the consumer in this case. And I'm not going to tell you how to solve your problem. I might make a recommendation, but you need to know the risk of doing nothing or delaying your decision. Now, if it's the person's overpaying by a dollar a month, there's not a serious risk of them not doing anything. I mean, yes, over 12 months, you'll be overpaying by $12. But what if the person's overpaying by $75 a month? Well, if you do the math, you know, that's quite a bit of money over the course of a year. But make the person feel that pain. Make the person understand the risk. Make the person start imagining, you know, what bad thing would happen if they didn't do something. So I think in this particular case, using a brief map, the main message is what are you recommending? Or whatever the instance you're using a brief map. But could you use box number 3 instead of relevance like reward, which I think would be better served in box number 5, the end state or the so what? Could you use risk here? And I want you to think about different applications where you're going to be using a brief map. I might be pitching an idea like this person, these people were doing in this exercise. I might be developing a strategic plan for my company. I might be articulating my role definition, or I might be, building the value proposition of a business unit or a capability that we have, or giving an overview of a change initiative that we're doing. It could be a number of different instances, but if you use that risk box, when you think about communicating for change, for decision, for consideration, what's the risk if people don't take the recommendation? What if they don't do anything? So a number of years ago, this is a funny story as I think back of it, but when it actually happened, it wasn't very funny. I just bought a house and I'm not a handy person. Naturally, you'd have an inspect your house before you sell it. So it goes through this very intensive inspection, and we fix all the stuff that needs to be fixed, you know, before we buy the house, and then we move it in the house. Then a couple weeks later, I'm having some electrical work done on the house. And the electrician is in my mudroom and by the electrical panel, and we're talking, and he says, well, you've got a problem. And I'm like, well, what's the problem? And he says, you need another service panel. I'm like, well, what do you mean? He says, well, you know, see the service panel, is this big gray door you open up with all the fuses? Well, you don't have enough electricity to run your house, you know, like appliances and air conditioning and refrigerator and all the things. And plus you have a garage, and then you've got an apartment above your garage and a pool. Like, you have too many things drawing electricity and not enough electricity in your panel. So you've got to get another service panel. And I'm like, how much does that cost? And he's like, that's about $20,000, maybe more. You'd have to call the electrical company. They'd have to come install a new service. We would come out and hook it up. And it's like at least $20,000. And I'm in shock. I mean, this is not on my radar. This is happening very, you know, this person just mentioning this to me. And I stopped and I asked this person a very direct question. What if I did nothing? I just said, like, if I don't do anything, what bad thing is going to happen? And without hesitating, the person said, nothing. Like, nothing bad is going to happen. And I'm like, hold on a second. You just recommended that I change, that I get, you know, another service panel, call the electrical company. It's going to cost me $20,000. But if I don't do that, nothing bad's going to happen. And he's like, and this is his line, please don't tell my boss. Well, he was trying to sell me a new service because obviously he'd probably get the vast majority of that installation. And, you know, of course the electrical company is going to get me as a second customer now. But I didn't need to do it. I didn't need to do it. There's no risk. So that's another story in of itself. It's funny now. Of course, I didn't do anything. I use this as an example of tell me, don't sell me. I didn't need to do it. But when you frame things for people, they have risks that they're managing. People in authority make decisions. They own decisions. They own budgets. They own goals and objectives. They own strategies. They own organizations. They own the risk. They own the reward. They own the mission. Many of the decisions that they're making are based on this risk factor. If we don't frame what the risk is, and we just frame what the reward is, it sounds like happy to glad. It sounds like nice to have. And if you frame it like nice to have, then it's not a need to have. And if it's not a need to have, it gets delayed. I don't do it. So there you go. You can elevate the role of the R in a brief map from relevance to reason and reward. Think of that as the payoff. Now that's the end of the story. The beginning of the story starts with the R as a risk. I'm going to propose that we paint our house. What's the risk if we don't paint the house? We won't be able to sell it. It's faded. It's chipping. We're going to lose value on the sale. I'm going to suggest that the value proposition of my business unit is to provide these end-to-end technology services. What's the risk of not engaging us? Well, you might have a service outage and they typically last 1 to 2 weeks, which people have no access to technology. Oh, okay. The framing of risk up front allows the person the ability to say, if I don't do it, if I don't do it now, what bad thing is going to happen? Okay, what are the ramifications? Honestly, in many cases of doing nothing or delaying a decision. I share this to you because if you don't do this, your risk is that people kind of put you on the margin. They put you on the side. What you're recommending really isn't an urgent thing. It's a nice thing. Well, when times get tough and money's tight and there are competing priorities, your idea might get marginalized and somebody else's idea might get ahead of it. And it should be the opposite. And that's not fair, but it's because you didn't include some type of a risk statement. So what I would really encourage you to do when you think about this is take the time to understand in their world, the person that you're talking to, the recipient, what bad things could happen? What bad things do happen when people don't leave this thing that's broken unfixed for a long period of time? And that would really captivate the person's attention in a way that would get them listening to you, which is what brief is all about. When I go through each of the boxes, background, relevance, information, ending, follow-up, I can tweak those letters a little bit. Sometimes instead of giving you the background, I might use that B to how am I going to begin the conversation? And when I use the relevance box, I'm suggesting that you might use that box for risk, my risk here. If you get to I for information, that might be your ideas or your insights. It might be your general information. Your ending might be just simply your ending, like how are you going to end? But it could be your end state. What's your payoff? What's the happy ending? What's the good news? And then the follow-up and follow-on are the response, the call to action, like what is your audience supposed to do when you finish talking, when you finish communicating? That whole method, that brief method that we create, allows for clarity. It allows for intentionality. And it allows for that to be done in less time. So in thinking of this podcast today, I want you to think about risks as a much more powerful way to start the conversation. And then maybe use the payoff as a better way to paint the picture, to end it, to have a happy ending. Just saying.